Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on 7.5 acres out in the country.
And I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana. I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's less than a third of an acre.
We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening and we want you to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where, why, how. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Carol. How are you?
I am very good today. The sun is shining. It's going to be a beautiful day for a walk.
Yeah, here too. We haven't really gotten into our garden updates, but we had snow again. It's our third storm of the year, which is crazy.
That is hilariously crazy.
Yeah, I think I'm in Minnesota. No, you know, and the snow is almost gone at my house. I think it's all gone in the city, and we're going to get up to 50 today, and I'm going to go walk at the park. It's going to be awesome.
That is awesome. So Oklahoma can now be Oklasoda.
Oklasoda. That's pretty cute.
Yeah. Or Oklason.
Okay. I like Oklasoda better.
Okay. Well, we had just enough snow that one day I saw some raccoon tracks going around the feeder. So, boo. I hate them.
Boo-hoo. Hate them too.
But here's my garden update, Dee. Are you ready?
Got it. I'm ready.
I have microgreens germinating in the sunroom, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
I had several packets from Botanical Interest, and they were a few years old. But, you know, those seeds are still good. So those are coming up. I have another mix called with basil. It's coming up. And so I'm pretty excited. Going to have me some microgreens.
A little bit of salad, a little bit of stuff to put on your sandwich. That sounds good.
Yeah. Now, you confessed before we started the podcast, you confessed something about microgreens after you saw my YouTube video.
I don't know. You know, we did that whole episode on microgreens a couple of times ago, and I said I'd never grown them. Well, of course I've grown them. Everybody who grows lettuce grows microgreens at first. And I had them confused with what? What was it I had?
Sprouts.
Sprouts. Sprouts. Yes. I had them confused with sprouts because we did an episode on sprouts a while back, and there's a lot of work to sprouts. Microgreens is basically just planting seeds in potting soil and then clipping them off when they're small.
That's right. And sprouts, you grow basically germinating in water, and you have to keep changing that water every day, or you'll start growing all kinds of weird bacteria and stuff. And so we're not doing that.
So I'm going to leave sprout growing to other people, because you can buy sprouts if you want them on your sandwich. And I used to eat them on my sandwiches, and then I kind of got to where I didn't care about them anymore. But I wanted to say, give you a shout out about your little videos that you're doing on YouTube. Claire and I, my youngest, were looking up something on YouTube to watch, and you came up on my, because I'm subscribed to your channel. You came up, and I said, hey, I need to watch this. It's only 3 minutes. And it was you planting microgreens. And Claire said, oh, that's cute. I think I'll subscribe. And Claire is 21, so that's high praise.
That is high praise. Thank you. And so, yeah, we'll put a link to my YouTube channel. I haven't done today's little video. Literally, it takes me 10 minutes to do these. Like I said, no retakes.
And also, it's like good advice. So I encourage people to subscribe to your YouTube channel. My YouTube channel, on the other hand, I only rarely put something up there. So I was thinking this morning when I was back changing clothes, getting ready to do this, to record this, I was thinking to myself, I can't split myself any more than I've already split myself.
True that.
I can't do any more. So at my house, the updates for gardening are that I'm keeping everything alive in the greenhouse. No small feet, because I have mealybugs on one of my groups of plants, and I just keep rubbing them off and then spraying them with stuff. So doing that. And in the garden, well, nothing, because I've been doing Christmas and New Year's. I guess I have my bulbs, and one of my bulbs that was supposed to be Grandiva amaryllis came up, I think is Aphrodite, a big double white with some stripes. And It's really pretty, and actually I'm happier about it. And I put that on my Instagram, and I think I also put it on my latest blog post, which was all about soil.
Very nice. I have one other update to mention before we move on to the quote.
Okay.
And that is my book, Creatures and Critters, Who's in My Garden? It made the top 10 new gardening books in 2020 list at Washington Gardener magazine.
Congratulations. Very nice. That's nice.
Thank you. Thank you. So here's the quote. Are you ready?
I'm totally ready.
I've got a whole theme going here. May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions, by Joey Adams.
I like it. They say most New Year's resolutions last until February. And I didn't make any this year. I think surviving 2020, I don't have to. I'm just going to accept 2021 as it comes and move on. So,
yeah. I didn't make any resolutions anyway because, okay, I've already been walking every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pretty much I'm a perfected mass of adulthood. I'm just kidding.
I was like, what are you saying? You usually don't have a big ego. That would be a big ego talking there.
No, I didn't make any resolutions in any way. You just wake up, your eyes are open, you think, okay, I'm going to try to make today a good day.
Yeah, every day a good day. I get up, do my meditation, talk with my best friend on the phone, who's named Amy, my best friend locally. And, you know, just try to take care of my family and garden and help people with gardening and go on.
Right. So anyway, we are continuing talking about National Garden Bureau has the year of flowers and vegetables and things. And this year for the perennial, it is the year of Monarda. And we have talked about Monarda, but so we're briefly going to talk about it.
It's Monarda and it's bee balm. That's a common name. And it's also known as bergamot. And I've never called it that, but I've called it bee balm. And bee balm is a great plant for bees and butterflies. It is a spreading puppy, though.
It is. It can kind of take over its space. Although, and I'm thinking about what I call the classic red bee balm, which is a variety called Jacob Klein.
Yeah, that's the named variety. Uh-huh.
And that one that goes wild.
It goes wild. It's planted out in my front bed that faces the street. And it is huge and goes wild every year. But people always want divisions of it. And I give it to them. And I always warn them, put it somewhere where you don't mind it spreading. And it likes dry soil. It likes wet soil. It has spreading root system.
But it's easy to, it's a shallow root. So it's easy to pull them up.
It very easy. Yeah, you can just yank it out of there. And I do because I don't want it growing, you know, and taking over the whole bed, which it would do. But I love it. And bumblebees especially love Jacob Klein.
Oh, they do.
So that's Monarda didima, right? We talked about that. And then there's some new ones, right? There's new ones that are like shorter and there's some that are more contained. I know Proven Winners has several varieties because I've gotten some of the plants in my plants.
Right.
You know, you named a couple on here. One was called Sugar Buzz.
Well, Sugar Buzz is like a whole series of them that they got names like Sugar Buzz, Bubblegum Blast, Sugar Buzz, Cherry Pops. I'm just looking online here at a few of them. Sugar Buzz, Grape Gumball. So they're kind of all named after candy.
Gotcha. Hence the name Sugar Buzz. So these are from Walter's Gardens.
Yes.
And you have lots of choices, and they tend to be a little bit shorter, it looks like to me, 16 to 24 inches, because my Jacob Klein is pretty tall.
Yes. Yeah. These are a little bit better behaved, I think.
And they are kind of a middle of the border plant instead of a back of the border plant.
Right.
And then you also mentioned a dwarf variety called Petite Delight, which is from American Meadows.
Yeah. Well, American Meadows is just one place to get it. I am pretty sure that at a local garden center a couple of years ago, I picked up Petite Delight, and it's only like a foot to 18 inches tall. And it is really kind of nice if that's the one I have.
Huh. Well, there you go. And then there's also Monarda fistulosa, which is wild bergamot, and it has lavender flowers. And I see that one grown a lot. And actually, I grew it this year. It is in my meadow.
Yeah.
Because you have in our notes, would be great for Dee's meadow. It is definitely in my meadow. I got it for in seed, and I spread the seeds even more because it is delightful to look at in a meadow planting, and it's a native, isn't it?
Yeah, it's native.
It is a native.
It's native somewhere in the United States. I know it's native in sort of like the Missouri area because I looked it up on Missouri Botanical Gardens' excellent website.
Yeah, one of the best websites we use. I think it is actually native to Oklahoma too.
Possibly. So the other good thing that everybody says is that Monardas are deer and rabbit resistant, which is also nice, which is surprising because it's all edible. The whole thing's edible.
Right, because it's a mint. It's part of mint family, which explains those stems that run under the ground. Also, I just looked up about Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We have actually quite a few bee balms that are native here, including Monarda fistulosa. And then it can handle our dry soils. And then we also have Monarda russellina, which is Russell's horse mint, and it's named for Dr. Russell. And he did some explorations into Arkansas, and so it's pink to white. So those are two that are native to Oklahoma, which is kind of cool. And I actually got this information from the Tulsa World, and we will link to it.
Very good.
Using their information. Also, the genus name, Monarda, honors Nicholas Monardes. He was the author in 1577 of the first book published in English on American flora. And you know what? This is why this is such a good article. My dear friend, Russell Studebaker, wrote this article in 1994 for the Tulsa World. And I'm not digressing because Russell just died. Russell died in December.
I saw that. Very sad.
And I will miss Russell. Russell has given me several plants. And he was a pip and a very opinionated person, but knew his stuff. This article even goes into John Bartram. So I'm going to link to it on our website.
It sounds really good. I am going to read that article as well. So I don't know what mints are native to Indiana, but I am sure that there are some out there. The other thing I would like to say about Monarda D is if people are OCD and like everything all nice and neat,
it won't work for them.
No, it's got the blooms even have like a raggedy appearance. The petals are all kind of twisty and look like a big mess. And it reminds me that some people might want to comb them out real nice and straighten it up, and you can't. It's bee balm.
No, they look crazy and wild. And also Monarda gets the same thing zinnias get, that mildew, the powdery mildew. And so not all Monardas do. They've been selecting for some that don't get it, but a lot of them do. So if you can't take powdery mildew occasionally, then you might not like Monarda. But my attitude about the powdery mildew is once the Monarda quits blooming, just chop it off.
That's what I would do.
Down to the ground.
And for a perennial, they actually will bloom for a pretty good while, at least a month or so.
Yeah, they bloom a long time. And if you have different varieties, they bloom at different times too. Because I have Jacob Klein in my front garden, and then I have a purple one, a really beautiful dark purple one. And they bloom in separate beds, and they overlap. But they, you get a longer bloom time.
Well, I kind of like the Sugar Buzz series. I might check into more of those. I don't know where I'm going to put them. But that never stopped me from buying a plant before.
No, it didn't. Sometimes I have to talk you into buying books, but never talk you into buying plants. If I just show you a plant list, off you go.
You don't have to talk me into books. Well, maybe you do.
A little. Not much, though. And sometimes we don't like the same books. So there you go.
No, we don't. Always. So, Monarda, we have talked about it before. I think we have provided some very excellent information for our listeners. And it's now on to the next quote.
The next quote is, every time you tear a leaf off a calendar, you present a new place for new ideas. Charles Kettering.
Very nice. So do you like a calendar that shows the whole month, or do you like that daily, whoosh, take that day off calendar?
I mostly use the calendar on my phone and on my computer now, but I also have a wall calendar that sits next to my desk in the kitchen because that's where my office is. I don't really do the the page a day ones anymore. I used to. What about you?
I used to have those that when I worked, and I would have one on my desk, and there was something satisfying about like that day's done.
Yeah, I think so now, I think as I've gotten older though, now I go, oh, that day's done.
Oh my gosh, where's the time going?
Yeah, exactly.
So we decided for our vegetable topic today, we are going to talk about each of us three vegetables that if we had a new gardener show up and they wanted to plant an early spring vegetable garden, which in Indiana would be around mid-March and in Oklahoma would be
end of February,
what would we have them plant?
And this is stuff that you would just direct sow outside. This isn't stuff right. that you would be planting seeds now and growing inside to transplant outside. So we picked three easy things. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I picked peas, kale, and radishes.
So when you say peas, do you mean shelling peas or do you mean potted peas?
So since it's a new gardener, I would say for them to use a potted pea, like a snow pea or a
sugar snap pea. Okay.
So one of those, because shelling is a little bit more labor intensive.
Yeah. It's labor intensive and you have to wait longer for the peas to pot up. And I don't know, here they're kind of inconsistent, but sugar snap peas and snow peas, you can grow in abundance in Oklahoma, and kale.
And I pick peas because, of course, it's traditional for me to plant peas and to convince people to plant peas. But I know, like, my sister with her grandson and granddaughters, it's like this tradition now to go and help Nana plant her peas in the spring. So kind of instilling a love of gardening right from the get-go. And peas are kind of bigger, so little hands can grasp them.
Yes.
And put them in, and it's very nice.
It is very nice. And also, kids like sugar snap peas. They like them raw, and they like them cooked. And so I think that's a great choice, too. I also used to have a dog that loved sugar snap peas. Her name was Maddie, and she wouldn't get up in the garden and pick them off the vine. But I would toss them to her, like I would eat a pea, and then I'd toss one to Maddie, and she loved those things. So I always think of her. She was probably my favorite dog ever, and how much she loved them. So I would say, yeah, peas are easy. Kale is easy. So my question is for you, which kale? Dinosaur kale, curly leaf kale, blue kale, green kale? Which one would you tell them to pick?
I don't kale.
You don't kale? I like dinosaur kale. To grow
any kale. I mean, I'm not a big one to eat it and stuff, though I try to force myself because I know kale is good for you.
Yeah, it's good in soups.
I like, yeah, cook it into something or like throw it into a smoothie, that kind of thing. So now my next one, radishes, mm-hmm. That's also on your list.
It is.
We agree on something.
We agree on it. We didn't know, so our listeners know, we didn't know what the other one picked. We added it at the very end. Yeah, radishes. I mean, talk about another easy one to grow.
And of course, there's only one variety to grow, right?
Well, you're going to say that, and I don't feel that way. I think you can grow lots of different radishes. Which one is your one?
You can, but, well, I got a one and a two. Cherry bell is number one.
I knew you were going to say cherry bell. Cherry bell's easy. Yeah.
And French breakfast is the second one.
It's easy, too. Watermelon, which is an heirloom that's really beautiful, and you see it on lots of chefs' dishes and stuff. Not as easy to grow, but you can grow it. I mean, it's not that hard. I tried to grow black radishes once, and that didn't go so well. And who wants to eat a black radish? I like kind of that pink. Oh, the Easter egg. The Easter egg mix.
Easter egg. That would be number three on my list.
Yeah, because they have purple and then the cherry bells in there. They're beautiful. So
and
if you
pink.
Want to grow something
they have lovely
pretty,
pink.
Lovely pink. Yeah. And white. So there you go. So on my list, I said mesclun mix of lettuces plus black seeded Simpson lettuce. I grow it every year. Super easy. Pops right up out of the soil. And then I said spring onions. And so spring onions, for years, I grew them as the little bulbs, little onion sets. But then I read Matt Mattis's book, and he said, grow them from seed. It's easy, and you'll get better onions. Here's the thing. You can grow them either way. You can even put onion seed directly in the soil and you'll get green onions in the fall, which is what I did last year.
Yes.
Because I didn't start them inside on time. And so I just thought, I'll just direct sow these and see what happens. And you know what happened? I got green onions in the fall. So I say if you're going to eat them as green onions, you can do onion sets, you can do seed indoors, or you can do what I did and you'll get onions in the fall, which isn't a bad idea because then you plant lettuce again. And so you'll get salads with onions in the fall. And there's nothing like green onions out of your garden compared to green onions that are at the store. Because you pick them.
Oh, yeah.
They're so much better. Like radishes. Radishes right. are sweet.
Yes, they're delicious until it gets hot outside, and then they get hot. But usually in my garden, they crack open. The radish cracks open. Then, you know, it's like, oh, too late.
Mine crack open or they sprout. They send up, you know, sprouts to make more seeds. So that's the end of that. They bolt, as it were. So
yes.
I think we should both say that spinach, which is another thing that people often start with, it is not as easy as kale.
No, it is not as easy as kale. And it's basically in my garden, it can easily become rabbit food.
yes. And we should also say that kale sometimes is, it is food for cabbage butterflies. So you might have to cover it with netting, not netting.
That's true.
Row covers. But if you plant it early enough and harvest it early enough, when it's young, which is really how you want to eat kale anyway, because it's more tender and more sweet, then you won't have as much trouble with cabbage butterflies.
Right. And we also should mention before we leave this topic, Matt Mattis's book that you're referring to is Mastering the Art of Vegetable Gardening, which is a beautiful little book. And people should, if they don't already have that, because we told them to buy it 2 years ago. So I hope they already have it. But that's Mastering the Art of Vegetable Gardening by Matt Mattis.
Really good book.
All right, we are on for another quote. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream by C.S. Lewis.
That is true. And that takes us into our On the Bookshelf. And this time we chose a book that I have called Color in the Winter Garden by Graham Stuart Thomas. It's a really, really old book, but it talks a lot about plants that bloom in winter. And a lot of times these are shrubs. And in Oklahoma and Indiana, if we have a pretty harsh winter, they'll probably bloom in late winter, early spring, right?
Right. Yeah.
So like winter honeysuckle would be one. Daphne odorata, which I cannot grow. I wish I could. I have smelled it because it blooms in the winter in Seattle. Anyway, Graham Stuart Thomas is famous for not so much the color in winter. He's famous because he was a horticulturist and a rosarian. In fact, David Austin named one of his first three roses that came across the pond Graham Thomas. And so, and I still have it. And it's a wonderful yellow rose. Anyway, he was born in 1909. He died in 2003, so he was really, really old. And
he was.
He was really old. So it's a good, you can find a good used copy of this book, and it's cheap. I think we found it for $5 online. It doesn't have color pictures. I think the pictures are black and white, but it is a very good book if you want to learn more about winter gardening.
Yes. And so here in Indiana, Daphne will not grow. I don't think the winter honeysuckle will grow and bloom. About the only winter flowers we get from shrubs would be the vernal witch hazel will bloom in
which he
February.
Also mentions. And I have that witch hazel also. And well, I have a bunch of witch hazels, but I have that one too. And I need to say one thing about winter honeysuckle. It is invasive in some parts of the United States because it is not a native shrub. And it kind of takes over because it's a honeysuckle. I do have it in my garden. I have not seen it be aggressive or do anything except for just sit there. And it blooms in late winter, early spring. Really pretty plant. Blooms in about February here, February or March. I'm not suggesting everybody plant it. I'm suggesting you look it up and decide, is it aggressive or invasive in your area?
Yes, and that brings up a good point we should make about older gardening books. And they can be very charming and very interesting and provide you with a lot of good ideas. But something that even in the 1970s, everybody thought was a wonderful plant, by now we know it's like an invasive thug and should never be planted. And so it pays to read the book, make your list, and then go look it up. Because I even in horticulture school back in the 70s learned about some shrubs and trees and stuff that were quote unquote great landscape plants. And now it's like, oh, I shouldn't mention those.
Yeah.
No, don't plant those.
And one would be the Bradford pear, because now it has mated with the caliper pear and has spread all over the United States. Regular vining honeysuckle, Asian honeysuckle is another one.
Exactly.
Don't plant that. It's bad. And it's all over the southeastern part of the United States. And Tulsa really fights both the pears and the honeysuckle. And you can always see them in the wintertime.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our new quote. Get off that topic of invasive plants. We're killing our buzz there, Dee.
I know. It's kind of it's kind of making me sad. And this is all about hope and new beginnings.
Exactly. With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts, by Eleanor Roosevelt.
Okay, so Eleanor Roosevelt is one of my real heroes. I admire her so much. And I think that's so true, because you know how sometimes you'll have a problem or you'll be upset about something. And if you can go to sleep and wake up the next day, it's just not that big a deal.
That's right. And so that has nothing to do with our dirt. It was just, you know, the theme of the quotes. So our dirt is the color trends for this year, and especially the Pantone colors, yeah, yellow or gray, and which they call illuminating and ultimate gray.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Dee, horrid, horrid colors.
They're really bad colors. And I don't know what Pantone was thinking. And I mean, gray has been popular in houses for a long time. Gray is not too good in gardens, and illuminating, the color that they're talking about, isn't it kind of a greenish yellow?
It's, I'm going to say it's close to school bus yellow.
Oh. But here's,
and I'll tell you what, and you go and look at the websites, and I did a bunch of looking around, and they say, okay, use gray as sort of the main focal, and then just use little pops of that yellow, like a vase or a throw pillow. They're not recommending you paint an entire room that horrid yellow color.
Yeah, I would actually say that this is lemon yellow. I'm looking at it right now. And the gray is a really nice shade of gray. And gray is used in gardens, although we think of it as silver.
Yeah, and you can think of lavender, lamb's ear. There are certain plants that have a grayish...
Artemisia.
Those are, you know, they have their place in certain gardens.
Yeah, they do. And they're great for gardens where you don't have a lot of water. Now, yellow, this shade of yellow... I don't see much of it in the garden except Arnold's Promise. Arnold's Promise, we just talked about witch hazels. That is that color of yellow. And that color is very welcome in early spring because everything else is blah, right?
Right.
Daffodil right. yellow.
But here's the thing. So maybe, and this goes, this is a throwback to when I was an employed person and worked in IT. I had to go to a software company in a suburb of Chicago. And I walked into these offices and the color scheme, I still remember, was gray and yellow. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I literally turned to the person. I says, how do you work in this office every day with this hideous color combination?
Yeah. And what did they say?
Apparently they had gotten a good deal on used like wall panels. You know, they had all those cubicle wall panels.
Yeah.
They'd gotten a good deal because I'm like, because they're ugly.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, if you want to use these colors in your garden, which I think we do use a lot of yellow. Yellow is very popular. Unless you hate yellow. I have one friend who hates yellow. She will not use it in her garden anywhere. But my daughter, on the other hand, loves gray and yellow.
Yeah, to each their own.
She loves yellow flowers. Yeah, to each their own. Now, when we looked these up the other day, we also talked about Dwell Magazine. And Dwell Magazine said that certain four colors will dominate our homes. Warm neutrals, which would be browns, dramatic black, natural greens, and serene blues. Well, that just sounds like people want to get back out in nature.
Exactly.
To me. That they're tired of being at home, which I am too. So I'm going to say, go out and take a walk like Carol and I are going to do today.
Exactly.
In fact, as you take a walk, take us along.
Exactly.
We have a lot of episodes.
So we are running long. We're going to Chatty Cathy's today. So let's do our garden commissions. Dee, what's your commission?
I got nothing, man. I guess trim up my amaryllis plants that have already bloomed, because usually they'll do a second bloom. That's my garden commission.
So my garden commission, I'm going to keep tending my microgreens, probably plant another flat of them. And then, Dee, believe it or not, I think I'm going to challenge myself to go ahead and order my main seeds, the ones I know, tried and true, I'm going to order those this week.
Me too.
There you go. And then remember, we still have to do our terrarium project over Zoom. So we'll figure out when we're doing that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to The Garden Angelus. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us. Also, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss anything.
And if you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review. That helps us get noticed by others.
Yes, and be sure and check out our show notes for links for information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites. And if you want to help support us, use those affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission and it costs you nothing.
It was lovely to chat with all of you over the Garden Gate today. Bye until next week.
Bye, everybody.